doesn't matter where it comes from. We do, and we're faithful. Phyllis and I were having conversations. Of course, we're always talking about different aspects and things. And we've got to get to where our trust is truly rooted in pleasing him, walking before him, even when it doesn't make sense, doesn't look like it's going to come back to us. And it's not a problem desiring a reciprocal response from the Lord when we're faithful, when we're giving, when we're sowing. There's the principle in the kingdom. The Lord doesn't want you to. We don't worship a little fat Buddha idol on a table. We worship the living God. He's alive. He reciprocates what we do. And there's a give and take that's very natural and normal. And so expect for the Lord to give, and don't make the mistake excuse me of assuming where it should come from, how it should come to you. Just be faithful in these things that you know to do. Do them in faith as unto the Lord, and watch and see how he opens up windows of heaven in your life. And it's the most fun when the reciprocation of us doing what we're called to do, fulfilling things, is that the Lord blesses you so that you know it was him. And it can come from, you know, different places and different ways. The point is truly to keep our eyes on him. So I just love the ministry. I also want to keep encouraging you. That's one aspect of this taking the church outside, as Dan Petrini would say, the name of his ministry, the outside church. But that each of you and every one of you, as we're out there, we walk out these doors, it's just as important to go as it is to come. Because truly, and here's another major paradigm shift, even in my thinking. We're not here to build a church meeting, organization meetings. When we emphasize that, then it's funny what it becomes. But if we'll get a real paradigm of building the kingdom, of coming as we're drawn by the Holy Spirit, getting joined and equipped like we're supposed to, and then going. The going is as important as the coming. Go ye. If we put as much emphasis on going as we do on coming, it would serve us well. So go today as you leave, and I'm not dismissing you at this moment. Don't all run out. But go with the same confidence that you came. People often, you know, there's this thing like you go to church for God. Actually, you don't come for him. You come for yourself. And there's this sense that we're, you know, hey, I did God a favor. I went to church. It's like, well, I'm sure he's pleased you were here, but you're missing the point. And so go with the same confidence that you're carrying something. You're carrying something today. It was impossible for you to be in this worship today in the midst of the testimonies, in the midst of the fellowship, and not being affected. It's impossible. That's impossible. You were affected. When you stand in the presence of the Lord, I think even if you were trying to resist being in the presence, you got affected anyways. And, you know, in the days ahead, I'm expecting to see healings happen. We enter into worship and the stuff that we have. I was like, I don't take this for granted. I hope none of you do. We're really like, it's good stuff. And we're touching something. And I have expectation for the impossible to happen. And it's going to break out again. Let's be faith. Just keep coming. Just keep coming at it. Just keep doing your thing, and watch and see what's going to happen. It's impossible for nothing to happen. It's impossible for nothing to happen when you pray. It's impossible for nothing to happen when you bring a kingdom principle into your everyday life at the gas station, at the grocery store, in your households, it's impossible for there not to be a good response from that and a good effect. So continue with faith to do those things. Also, Phyllis, did you mention Kevin Pontius coming on the 11th? So April 11th, the same time the memorial services for Diane's father, that's in PA, correct? And that evening, Kevin Pontius is coming to share his testimony. So we're looking forward to that as well. So that's going to be a really neat thing. Ah, I would be good. I had a dream. That puts me at the level of Martin Luther King, I had a dream, No, this was awesome. It was just the other morning. It had been Friday, my Friday night sleep, waking up Saturday morning. And I was in our church. It's not that it looked exactly like our church, but I was very well. We were in our building. And I was excited because I was excited about getting new video media technology. Like there was something, I can't explain it any more than that, but it had something to do with that. Like I was aware of the overhead and the whatever, but it was something new and exciting, and I was excited about it. Like, I don't know. I like had this knowing we're going to break into this. So that's significant in itself. And a friend of mine, unidentified, but this person came again right into the building. He was a friend. And I was sharing with him about my excitement to get into this, but I don't know how to break into it. He says, "Well, I know someone that's really good about this and in this. It's Billy Graham." I never, ever in my whole life dreamed about Billy Graham. He goes, "He's good. I'll contact him." And almost immediately, Billy Graham was in our building, and I'm aware. He kind of walks up to me, and I'm aware of one thing. That he's very tall. Have you ever been in someone's presence that's like super seriously tall, and they just tower, over you? I had that sensation that he was so big. So he kind of turned from me and he was just looking at our facility. He looked around and then he turns back to me. Actually, for some reason, I know he turned back to his right and he smiles at me. And this is that prayer. Like the light of your countenance shine on us. It was that thing, like you won from heaven, like God shining on us, smiling. It's a whole in a look, in a smile, in a favorable look, there's this, this transference of favor and blessing. And he gave that to me. How about that? So I just rejoiced, like, wow. I don't have a full thing of that. It's a good thing. And I just received, like, wow, this is really, really good. So, just, tap into that. That's a neat thing. I felt it was very, very significant. So, So getting to go out and with all of you on Saturday and how good that was. And again, it's just as important for the little things that you did, any of you did this week, when you brought the kingdom to a person, when you smiled at some in your life, when you smiled, when you brought peace where there was chaos, where you spoke a blessing where there was cursing, where you spoke redemption and hope to someone that was hopeless, when you encouraged someone that was fearful not to be fearful, when you brought the kingdom this week and in every place. And just keep bringing that. Take risks to bring that to a stranger, to somebody. It's fun. And so step out in things and continue to do that. And dare to speak differently. People are hungry for this. But the fellowship that we often have with people is fear-based. And as Christians, we're very guilty of this. And I actually want to just touch on this subject today. The fellowship of fear and the fellowship of the dread of the times and the seasons and saying these are end times and the end days. And I find, and I'm watching, and it something just grieves me about it. It has for a long time, and I'm getting language about it and what bothers me. And as soon as, I mean, there's just this common camaraderie you have, and Christians are probably the absolute worst for this. They get together, someone brings up the political atmosphere, the what's going on in the government, our economy, our this or that, and the fellowship begins. And the fellowship is over the fear and the anxiety and the hopelessness of leaders out of control and conspiracy things and what's going on and what's wrong with this and that. And there's actually, I'm going to use this word in this, faith given to what is bad. I run into it all the time. I run into people and I'm stumbling for a moment because I know it's the old paradigm of fellowship. If someone brings up how bad it is, you automatically agree with how bad things are. I mean, you'd be an idiot to deny that, you know, things aren't crazy, you know, somewhat crazy. But I believe it's problematic for us. I've been teaching out of Psalms 91. I believe it's problematic for us to be out of one side of our mouth saying that we trust, our trust is in the Lord. And, you know, I would ask you, hey, do you believe Psalms 91 is true? I mean, you have to say yes, of course. I mean, you know, whatever. But do you? Are you living there? I'll ask again, are you living there? Let the Holy Spirit convict you. That's not a bad thing, because conviction is when you come to a moment, you go, oh, I see something wrong. I need to change. I need to flip. I need to switch. Are you fearful about your life? Do you look at things in the world and what's your take on that? And this fear is just breeding. It's all around us. It's in our culture. It's in our society. It's in people you meet. I mean, this comes up. The guy that comes and puts in some protection posts because of our crazy drivers around here, around our tank and around the water well, and going to put some more in because you're all very dangerous behind the wheel. I'm not going to make any gender comments right now. Karen's thinking, yeah, because men are actually worse at it. We can be just as, yeah. Can be. And the man that, he begins to talk to me right away. He goes, man, you know, I have breakfast with my guys, and they're sitting there, you know, looking at Facebook over breakfast, and this is all they do. These are guys. We're not talking, there's no females in this, you know. Sitting at breakfast, Facebook stuff, and talking about how bad things are in the world constantly. And he just, you know, he's commenting, and I'm like, yeah. And how, you know, it's so negative. It's just like, just spreads like cancer. I said, yeah. And I dared to say something different instead of just agreeing, you know. I said, you know, life has always had some pretty radical things going on. I said, because of our media, our access to this stuff, and the access that bad people have to these things, it is in our face, but it none of this is all that new, you understand. It's always been going on. There's always horrific in the midst of writing this, including the New Testament, horrific things were happening in Rome that led up to the destruction of Jerusalem, and it was horrific. It was as horrible as anything that is going on now. And it's not that we have to put our heads in the sand and say, oh, nothing bad's going on. But let me read. Let's turn to Psalms 2. I'm not going to belabor this. If But I want to just check your paradigm. I just want to check you where you are and perhaps encourage you to switch something that we've gotten so, you know, so normal and common to agree with certain statements. Now let's look at Psalms 2. Let's look at Psalms 2. Why do the nations rage and the people plot a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, "Let us break their bonds in pieces and cast away their cords from us." In other words, this story is not a new story. This rhetoric is not new. No, there's nothing new on the planet that hasn't been for a long time. It shows up in history all over. Verse 4, "He who sits in the heavens shall laugh." I love this picture. I love it. When is it that you sit and watch something and laugh? When is that? When you realize that all that stuff over there is really doesn't have any power. When you realize it's just fluff, it's just scare tactics, it's just stuff, and God sits, watches this. God's not nervous about who's president. You understand that, don't you? Do you know that? You understand that? We're all guilty of this. We put our trust in a particular political party or candidate. We go there, we do. And there's this element of trust. I want you to really take a second look. Instead of it just being a common word that we use at church, what do you trust in? Really? Scriptures are full of this. The call to you is to trust in the Lord. That never goes away. It never gets rescinded. Trust in the Lord until the end times. You know, whatever that is, you know? Like, it doesn't get rescinded. And what our nation may or may not look like in the next year or two or five or 10, I don't know, but this I do know. I do know this. What's going to stay steadfast as long as I'm living and breathing is my mission. My mission's not going to change. And if something happens that makes it more difficult to do what I'm called to do, I'll just have to find a way to still do it. It won't stop me from doing what's important. If it gets more convenient or it looks differently than it does right now, my mission, I do really don't think that's going to change. I'll find a way to do what I'm called to do. And I'll definitely still be under the same mandate to be the person that I'm supposed to be. I will not then be released to hate, to kill, to destroy, to to not forgive. None of that will change no matter what. So the God of heaven, God looks down at all this stuff that we're like, what if this happens? What if that happens? The Lord laughs. The Lord shall hold them in derision. Verse 5, he shall speak to them in his wrath and distress them in his deep displeasure. Yet I have set my king on my holy hill of Zion. And I would just invite you to join me and set your king. Set your king. Once your king is set, then you can set with him and laugh, as it were, to that, especially this fear. It's not about not having compassion. I am not talking about being foolish about this. I'm talking about having this calm confidence that is not the byword as we share the bad news of the world, but is the pre-word that is the foundational statement. God is in control. Things are kind of messy over there. God truly is in control. Instead of as a byword at the end of talking about this stuff, that we go, and God's in the control. I mean, it's just like, really? Do you really believe that? Because the news, you know, the anxiousness of the news was evil. So I know this is a little funny, but it's about this posture of our hearts where we set. And it starts with this element of, as for me, I've set my king. And if you do that, then the presidency and the governors and the greater organizations and networks and clubs and fellowships of men all over the world, from past to present, they get depowered. Not because you are bigger than them, but because you're seated with someone that's bigger than all that. And in the end, they are puppets, and the Lord is using and orchestrating. That is really what I believe. Verse 7, I will declare the decree. The Lord has said to me, you are my son. This moves into talking about Jesus. Today I have begotten you. Ask of me, I will give to you the nations for your inheritance and the ends of the earth for your possession. You shall break them with a rod of iron. You shall dash them to pieces like a potter's vessel. Verse 10, now therefore be wise, O kings. Be instructed, you judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you perish in the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all those who put their trust in him. I'm in. I want to be in. I want to make a decision today and every day. My trust is in the Lord. Now, let the information come. It'll all get filtered through this. My trust is in the Lord. And it's in the Lord, not religiously. My trust is in the Lord because I truly see him as sitting in the heavens watching all of this go on and going, go ahead, make your great plans. I've got the last move. I orchestrate things from heaven. Make your plans, make your schemes, do your stuff, do whatever. I have the last word. Everything's working to my finale. And as we look at the earth as our inheritance, it's Jesus' inheritance, it's our inheritance, then you get rid of this mentality that we're going to check out as soon as we can. I don't know. I know how all of you are about your stuff. Many of you own homes. How willing are you to just give that up to somebody that just decides to move in and take up residence? And yet, the mentality we've had coming up to, a lot of things are changing, but the mentality we've had coming up to this is you know, it's all going to burn anyways. Let's get off this rock, you know. Start looking as the Lord, you know, as the Father says to the Son, I'm giving you the earth as your inheritance, and that Jesus is coming back. And that he's coming back, and all the elements that need to happen in that event and surrounding that event, let them be, man. I'm here with faith, and I'm not in charge. I'm not the wedding coordinator. I'm just in. My eyes will be on him, and whatever's happening, I'm with him. When he comes, and he's coming back to bring that to it, that inheritance, to the fulfillment, and our posture The kingdom of heaven is at hand, and our posture then is to be reaching out and bringing that now. And as he, when he comes, this we comes into a whole another dynamic. But our trust needs to be in the Lord. Our message needs to be about Jesus and not about what's wrong with the earth. It's funny, all of these distractions that come along, come to the church, and, you know, I'm talking big picture. All the distractions that's come, it's funny, and we were warned about this in the New Testament, about, you know, where Paul starts, says, that's another gospel. It's interesting how quickly an agenda can become another gospel. It'll happen to the best of us. You go, oh, not me. Oh, be careful. Because without even realizing what has happened, you've transferred into another emphasis, and that becomes what you're preaching to people. And I feel the same about the fear that it is all over. I ran into a woman yesterday when we were on the streets, and here's the ones that are the worst. She had been in church. We got talking because she, you know, she said something that brought us to that conversation. She was a Christian. First thing, she went here immediately. How bad things are. I could tell she genuinely was fearful. And this is our fellowship. And it was the bottom line is, it was not an expression of trust in the Lord. And, you know, what do you have to go into, you know, in those moments? I'm just saying what I saw and witnessed, and it's all around. And as believers, if our message is truly, I trust in the Lord, then someone brings up those subjects. You can listen. You don't have to be foolish about it or not compassionate. There are things to be concerned about, but it just changes everything if you're truly standing in this place where you trust the Lord and you go, yeah, that's interesting. Yeah, life could get interesting. It's interesting right now. But I trust in the Lord. And so when we look now at Psalms 91 again, let's brief it. I'll just pick out, I mean, you could just start all over with that. It's one of those passages, like the rest of the Bible. You can preach it this way, and you can come back at it and preach it that way, and then you can come in the middle and go this way, you know. So I definitely have a proneness to run off into funny little subjects that sometimes aren't fruitful. So I want to just reiterate some things I was saying last week and look in verses 5 and 6. And remember, I pointed out in Psalms 91, the qualifiers are that you dwell close, you dwell under the shadow. The Lord is, that you're one that says, the Lord is my refuge, that's your testimony. See, that needs to be what's rolling out off our lips. The Lord's my refuge. Oh yeah, it was strange what happened in the Middle East, but the Lord's my refuge. The national debt, that's scary, but the Lord's my refuge. I have a purpose, I have a destiny. Something changes, I'll still have my purpose and destiny to fulfill. So I'll do it this way or that. I'll do it standing up, laying down, underground, from the clouds. But it doesn't relieve you from your stuff. Do you see? You don't get excused all of a sudden because life gets difficult or something happens. I don't know. There's many things I don't know. We don't know. Everyone's speculating, but we don't know. Verse 5, you shall not be afraid of the terror of night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence in verse 6 that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. Verse 7, 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand. That's a pretty scary scenario, you understand. That would be terrifying. 1,000, 10,000. I mean, he is using extreme expressions to write this psalm. but it shall not come near you. Only your eyes shall look and see the reward of the wicked, or your eyes will see what comes of the wicked. You will witness that. So we have tremendous promise. I don't have answers why we haven't tapped into all of it, but I know the way to get it is to get as close to the Almighty as you can until you are in the shadow. That's close. Till you say, the Lord is my refuge, and you're not just, you know, I'm not going to be afraid. You know, that thing where you're talking yourself into something. You know, I'm saying the right thing, but boy, it's hard to believe. To you're truly walking in this real calmness, like, oh, the Lord's my refuge. Aren't you afraid? Yeah, I look at some of those, they concern me. Yeah, I'm not going to be stupid about it. Yeah, that's, wow, that's scary. But the Lord's my refuge. Here's my history. He takes care of me. Here's my story. I love him. And because of that, he promises to watch over me and keep me close. That's good. Flip over to Psalms 37, and I'll close with this. Jesus is our message. It really is. And that he is the king. He really is. And that trust in him and his kingdom come and his kingdom at hand, reaching out and bringing that in every area and every aspect that we can. That's our message on earth as it is in heaven, and ministering and praying and loving on our cities and loving on our people and loving on our communities. I was listening to a Bethel Friday night service. I think it was a worship time and a meeting on Friday night they had. And as they were beginning their worship service, they just commented, like, we've got a group out tonight in Reading, loving the city. And they were talking about outreach. That's what they call it. Because that's the paradigm they've embraced. They're not out trying to build the church. They're out loving their city and looking for people. And now if you have that thing, like, you're like loving people and caring about people, then it changes so much. Then you're looking for people and looking for ways. What do you need? Because if you experience the Lord's kindness, you're going to follow me back to the church. If you experience the Lord's kindness, you're going to go running after him. Because he's the kindest person that I know. And if you don't chase after him, he'll waste perfume on you anyways. Give out kindness. Give out stuff. You know, Pam and Kurt have found this awesome... I'm looking for the word. It's the tool, the gifts, and that she does so well. These gift packages. I wish you don't happen to have one around, do you? You did so well, though. They look so good. They look like something you go buy at a store. Just the way they were wrapped with cellophane and hoop, like, awesome, great job. You know, there were gifts in them. And there's stuff and things in them, and they were really quality looking gifts. And it doesn't matter what they do with it. That's when we really have arrived, when we give and we use, because the real goal, it's the worm on the hook. Maybe the fish eats the worm and maybe the hook, but it doesn't matter. We caught the fish. We get to minister something. We get to minister the Father's love to a group of people. To individuals, we're doing that. We're spreading that. It's just the vehicle that we're using to get in. And so now, it doesn't matter. You can. It releases you to have to analyze. And oh, I think they're wasting that. And oh, I think that. I don't know. This is, you know. I mean, honestly, Some of the people that come to Second Harvest and get these boxes of food, they got nicer tires on their car than I have got on mine. I remember going years and years ago, Karen and Chris and I went, I think it was maybe just the three of us took a trip to New York to the big bus station and doing, you know, an outreach, the homeless, back when that was a new thing to do. And, you know, and I'm there and, you know, I'm looking at these homeless people. They've got new tennis shoes on. I'm like, I've got worn out loafers. I mean, back in the day, it was hard to find money to buy a pair of shoes, and most of them had nicer ones on than I did. Not that I want to trade them places, but, you know, you just go, they got no worries. Me, I'm stressed out with life, trying to be a Christian and all, you know. Here's these homeless people quoting scriptures at me. I'm like, oh, time out. This is, yeah. What's wrong with this picture, you know? So you have to keep it in perspective and realize it's not about those things. If you look at that, then your heart gets discouraged and disheartened. You keep kingdom in mind and realize what we're doing and the opportunity to do it. Then you can finally look past that other stuff. We didn't get to Psalm 37, verses 3 and 4. Please try to hear this today, just like as if you'd never heard it before. As if it was a new injunction to you. These simple words. Trust in the Lord. Transfer your trust to the Lord. Trust in the Lord. I could feel that. And do good. Do what you know is good. Interesting, looking too much at stuff and how things appear and how they are, listening to too many bad scenarios, you stop doing good. It tempts you to change some things up. But if you trust in the Lord, I mean, I was doing my taxes this week, put all my information together and, you know, write out things. And Phyllis has this, it's a small job, but it becomes significant over the period of a year, cleaning a house. And it's cash. So when you're, you know, sending your information to the tax man, I forgot all about it. And I had taken my stuff to North Canton to the accountant that takes care of my stuff. And come back a day or two later, and I don't know what, all of a sudden I went, oh my gosh, I forgot to add that in. Now, it's cash. No one's watching. No one knows. It's so easy to just go, what the heck? And yeah, you know, all it's going to do is increase that, you know, what I still owe, you know. But the point is that God's watching. The one that matters is watching, always watching. And so you do good, you do the right thing. Sometimes it costs you to do the right thing. And sometimes you say, hey, I forgot, and I did, you know, I make this phone call. I forgot about this amount. It was cash, you know. No 1099 on it or anything, just, you know. But here's the amount. It needs to be added in to my income. Put it in however, wherever, you know, it fits or how you do that. Because as you trust in the Lord, you develop this true, genuine consciousness that He is watching and what you do matters. It matters because He's watching. It changes everything. Dwell in the land and feed on His faithfulness. Again, wow, what a rich statement. Dwell in the land. Dwell in the land. That is a word to all of you, that wherever you dwell, and I'm just going to leave that open as to what that means. Wherever you dwell, Where you dwell, your sphere of influence. Let's use that term. I love that term. What's your sphere of influence? Where you dwell there. Like there's a commission here. You can hear this. If you hear it coming from heaven, you're commissioned to dwell where you are, to dwell there with purpose. Have you ever been in, I know y'all have, been in places where you're kind of like, I'm not really here. Our favorite story is when I was taking one of our little animals when Ashley was really little, and I took, must have been a puppy or something, little dog, to the vet to get his shots. Ashley went with me, you know, it was great fun. Hey, we're going to the vet. She's, you know, very little, maybe 4 years old at the time, something. And we go up to Winona to the vet at the time, the puppy, whatever I had there, you know, started getting shots. And Ashley looks at the vet and says, I'm not with him. Like, I mean, that was like her immediate reaction. She said, I'm watching what's happening here. I thought this was fun. This, you know, we're going to the vet today. Yup, yup, yup. You know, all of a sudden, I'm not in this. Oh, no. Needles, stuff. No, and then, yeah. And don't even think you're putting me on the table next. She was checking out. It was so cute, you know. Sometimes we're grown adults and we're going, I'm not really here. I'm not really a part of this community. I'm not really at this church. Just filling a seat. You know, I don't know. Where are you at that you're just not there? Here's this thing where it says, wherever you are, especially if you've identified the Lord put you there, then dwell in the land. Can you feel the weight of that? The Lord saying to you, dwell in your community, dwell in your church, dwell where you are, dwell there. Put in roots, be there and feed on his faithfulness. See, here's this other, don't feed on fear. And this is what I see this. We need to switch this up. Go, yep, we've got to stop this. Some of you that I've literally pulled up from watching the very, very, very little news. I find most people in the ministry have pulled up from the news. It's like that steady diet of that. Wow, it's like toxic. Because what is the majority of? How much good news is on the news? If it ain't bad, it doesn't even make one of the segments, does it? And the worse it is, I mean, they love a good, juicy, bad news line, headline. Boom, ratings go up. How sad. Why is that? Because we're hungry for that. That's why. Why is there a bar on every corner? Because people are thirsty for that, you know. Change the thirst of people, the bar will close down. Change the thirst of people and the news will change. Ratings will go down. I don't want to watch that anymore. First of all, I'm going to trust it. So what's the command here? Feed on his faithfulness. The New King James Version. Feed on his faithfulness. I give you permission. Feed on the good news of Jesus. You know what the good news of Jesus is? That countless, I think the number's really getting big. I'm not going to use any numbers, but I think it's getting very big. How many Muslims are encountering Jesus in their prayers? He's visiting them, coming to them. I mean, not a couple, not 100, thousands and thousands, more and more. These people are very devoted and genuine in their prayers. And Jesus is showing up. That's good news. CNN did not cover that, has not been covering it. That's a growing. And I just believe there are people in high places and there are things that are going on that's not making the news. It wouldn't, because it's good. But we need to feed on the good news, feed on the faithfulness of God, feed on the rest of the story. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Another mandate. Want the desires of your heart? Sacrifice more? No. Do this more? No. Do this less? No. That's not the problem. The promise is delight yourself in the Lord, and he'll give you. What's more important to you than the desires of your heart? I mean, that's really where the real stuff is, isn't it? It's where your dreams are, desire of your heart. This is down to the real personal stuff. I look at you and say, the Lord wants to give you the desires of your heart. I go, oh, that's the good stuff. We were sitting eating yesterday and we got into this discussion. What would be your dream car? What's your favorite car? You know? So one, you know, just a fun conversation. So one person said this and was, you know, and it reveals what's your dream? What's your desire? Here's the Lord tapping into that. I'll give you the desires of your heart. Matter of fact, open that up, and I even can see. So he you're like, oh Jesus, you don't know what you're promising. He would say, oh, but I do. Trust in the Lord. Let's just respond. Lord Jesus, today we trust in you. We want to make a transference. Give us wisdom how to filter and monitor even the events of the day, the tragedies and the catastrophic things, and to get them in perspective. But Father, we want to feed on your faithfulness. And we want to carry a message of hope in the midst of this thousands falling at our side and 10,000s that, you know, that we are a people that have this calm confidence that we're seated with Jesus. We're in heavenly places looking down from God's perspective, and there's no worries, where there's confidence that he's in control. So that our trust is not in men, that our trust is in you. Help each one of us, any of us that are anxious about our finances, we just want to profess that our trust is in you. Wherever your worries lie, just confess it. The only way to change that, see it, acknowledge it, and turn from it. Jesus, give me grace to change. Some of this stuff is real strongholds in your lives. That's okay. That's not a problem for Jesus. I wouldn't try to fix it on your own, but you make a choice as you see things. You go, Jesus, this is a big one for me. I don't want to stay here. I don't want to stay here, but I sure need your help to get out. He loves that prayer. He loves that prayer. You're allowed to say, Jesus, I can't change myself. He's like, oh, I'm good with that. That's not a problem. Do you want to change? Yes. Do you want free? Yes. Do you want to transfer your trust to me? Yes. I'll help you. I can bring that to pass. I can encourage your heart. Lord Jesus, I ask that you just open up the floodgates. You know, we're looking for things that we need. We need to see your faithfulness. So I ask that you'll release, even today, in all of our lives, in secret places in our lives, I ask that you'll release a wave, an expression of your faithfulness. This day, this week, this month, in this season, I ask that you release the expression, the proof of your faithfulness. The enemy of our soul wants to keep us shielded from seeing that. And I release the proof, the verification, the evidence of your faithfulness. Release the evidence. Uncover the hidden evidence of your faithfulness in our life, in people's lives, in our individual lives. In Jesus' name, you are faithful. Release that. I cover that. Thank you, Father. Just thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen.